WA Mobile.
84 GPA. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Steve on this end. Cruising through downtown Inman, South Carolina, headed for Spartanburg. Are you out and about?
Parking lot at work. Relaxing for a little while before I have to go in. This is Jimmy down here in Belton, South Carolina.
Downtown Belton today. Are we ready for a beautiful day? I see one little line of clouds, and that's about it. Other than that, the skies are just clear, and, well, it is 37 degrees, so it is a little cool.
Good day so far outside, but the rest of the day will be like that.
I hope so, too. Yeah, I tell you what. Could use a nice, absolutely severe, clear day. I gotta be out and about doing all kinds of stuff today, and I am semi-retired, so I've gotta go do a little few errands to keep things moving.
At that point, being semi-retired.
Now listen, I'm fixing to head down in a little hole here where I know I've got lesser coverage, so if I get scratchy, I'll pop up on the other side in about, 2 minutes.
Well, no, not yesterday, it seemed like. I don't get to go outside often at work, but it was the time of the day. It seemed like it got pretty warm yesterday compared to what it has been.
Put in a new wood stove here about October, and I had been burning that thing constantly, and last night it didn't get down below the 40s, so I didn't run a fire last night, so I thought I'd go ahead and let my heat pump and my equipment run a little while to make sure it's staying in top shape. So, I understand it's going to get back cold again here pretty soon, though. Who's down there in Belton, Jimmy?
Company called ABB, Sprint CNC Machines over here.
ABB?
Oh, Baldor. Got another plant in Greenville over off 85 right there near right near Woodruff Road and everything, right off Garlington Road. May have seen that sign from the interstate coming down through there.
Yeah, I recognize the name Baldor. They've been around a long time.
Maybe been a few years ago. Now they're putting this up for sale again. Where this plant that we're in down here in Belton, it's their top money making plant they have all around. And they want to put us up for sale.
All about the profit, boss. All about the profit.
The guy that runs ABB, he just started with them back right after they bought this company, and he's wanting like the he'll take a company with a good name. Well, his main thing he's wanting ABB to get back to their main focus, which is robotics, and so he's working on selling off all their other stuff. A lot of people, they'll want to buy us just for our name, and then, because they would still use Baldor on all their products, but hopefully there won't be some foreign company that tries to buy us out just for the name and then ship us out just to hold on to the name.
You do know the odds are not in your favor there. More than likely, some foreign outfit's going to come in, snatch it up for the name, and trade off of the name until they can run it in the dirt.
But that kind of stuff's only going to get worse, too.
Nothing in life that you can count on. Nothing stays the same.
I'm thinking the right person.
With X-ray equipment, and I do a lot of computer imaging in conjunction with that X-ray equipment. And, I've got to this point in my career where I just hate those little boxes.
I remember now you're talking about it before. Yeah, I used to really be into computers and stuff back in 25 years ago. I was out there going to school for all that. Ended up not finishing that and getting into electrical, and just heck now, I probably get on a computer other than at work, of course. I get on a very computer maybe once every 6 months and use my phone for everything else now.
Did computers 25 years ago, that'd have been 1995, and let me assure you, unless you've kept up, and it just seems like every time you turn around, they're coming out with some sort of restructuring. You got to relearn OS. You got to relearn the kernel. You got to relearn all the... it's just a constant flow. Somebody's got a better idea.
We'd enough just to know what was there, but other than that, how to do it, I don't even have interest to it anymore. Back then, all I had to know was DOS and HTML, and that's pretty much it for the most part.
The days of putting in a DOS command are, well, I mean, unless you're writing your own software, and you go back and, you know, you go around the OS, you know, those days are pretty much gone.
Talking about programming, though, back in my kids, they from sixth grade on through high school, they did, went to school at home online. We had this one week, or at the end of the week, we got a call from the teacher, the online teacher, saying that our kids hadn't logged into school all week and been doing any of their work. I mean, they would log in, but they wouldn't turn in any of their work. We checked their work every night, seen online, you know, they looked at the thing online, seeing what they'd done, everything. But it turned out that my son spent 14 hours, rather than doing his schoolwork, programmed about three or four pages deep of the web page that he could show us that they had done their work. And it looked just like the school website. I mean, it had everything we needed. We click on everything we needed to click on to pull up the work they'd done. And it made it look like they had done it. And he spent 14 hours doing that versus doing his schoolwork. And, that didn't go too well for him.
Yeah, but you know what? That showed initiative and ingenuity, bud. And right there, those are two ingredients that'll get you ahead in life. Because once he gets interested in something and really latches onto it, that ingenuity and interest will carry him a long way.
I was talking to the young, where we ended up figuring out, I was talking with the IT guy there from the school, and he kind of figured out what was going on, and he told me, you know, he got to look at a couple of things, but he's like, technically I'm supposed to turn this in, and he'll be expelled for this, but this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, and I'm not going to say a word if you don't want to, if you want to handle it yourself.
Well, yeah, but now, you know, he does need just a little bit of discipline. Did you handle it yourself?
That one. But he ended up, and that's what I figured after that, he would end up going into your computers and stuff like that, but he got away from that. He's a medic in the Army now, you know, but he's doing, but it's like you said, it's something he enjoyed it, so he latched on to it, and that's just what he does, that's what he's enjoying doing now, and but it was just one of those things, if he didn't enjoy it, he wasn't going to do it, he wasn't going to do it, he just, you know, just couldn't focus on it long enough to really relax and get it real good, so, but yeah.
You know, that's about like my son years and years and years ago. He is, he's 45 now, and that was when they first brought computers into the classrooms. And that rascal, they took him and they put him into a computer program. Well, the school told us, oh, he's going to do self-paced computer learning. He's going to really do well. Well, wrong. All of a sudden, he started getting F's in math and a couple of other courses. And they said, well, we don't understand what's going on. So I went and looked at it, talked to him. He says, Dad, this is stuff I did in the third and fourth grade. I don't know what they're doing. Well, turns out they had stuck him in a remedial program to fill the spaces, fill the slots. Didn't go over too well with us.
Yeah, if they're not challenged, they won't like it either. Of course, like my daughter, if it's at least a little bit challenging, she pushes away from it, don't want to do it. If it ain't easy to her, she ain't going to do it. But yeah, you got to challenge them, though. And also, a lot of times with those self-paced things, a lot of kids don't do well with that because they need the, you know, the kind of being forced into doing something like my daughter. You kind of have to push her constantly to do it. But my son, on the other hand, he does pretty good with self-paced.
Well, I would imagine in this day and time, with, online learning, I bet it is a challenge to keep it in a situation where you can keep the kids challenged to keep it moving forward. I'd hate to be a programmer for a school today.
Yeah, I know the Connections Academy, and that's what they went through, and that's one of the main ones still used. It's good. They got a good system set up as far as, or at least it was, you know, back as they've been out of school now for almost 5 years now, 4 years now. But they, it was a good system back then and everything, and always seemed to go here pretty well. Very rarely do we have any outages and down, being down and all that. I don't know how it goes now when there's so many people on it.
Taught school for 30 years, and he and I went to high school together. And he retired. That's been about 4 years ago. And he was telling me that they have such a shortage of middle school teachers right now that they came back after him and said, "Look, you want your job back? We'll let you continue teaching on. Let you continue your retirement and everything else all at the same time. Come on back in." He says, "No, I put my time in." Well, that was 2 years ago. Now they're back after him again, trying to get him to come back to teach some more. So they must be real short on personnel right now.
Two daughters going to, I think it's Lander, I can't remember where that was called. She's going to, but yeah, she's going to school for teaching. And she's already, you know, subbing and everything, but they're pushing her to try to go ahead and get finished early so that she can, you know, get into an actual classroom. They got her subbing in a high school, and she looks younger than the darn high school students. I don't think she don't want to do it to be that way, but it wouldn't be a good thing to put her in a high school for teaching, or probably even a middle school, because she don't look much older than her middle school students.
See, that could be a problem for her because, you know, a lot of times appearances are deceptive. And, you know, my buddy that taught for 30 years is 6'4" and looks like Mean Joe Green as far as his physical attributes. And he really never had a problem with discipline in his classroom. But somebody like your daughter, I can see where it could be a problem.
My daughter, but yeah, she said she's probably going to focus on new elementary age. It'll probably be good for that. But yeah, like somebody like Brendan, you know, big guy like they ought to, like, you know, kind of if that's who they're suited for and everything. But they ought to put those, you know, put guys like that in charge of the boys. Put you know. Nicer girls in charge of the girls, and you know, do things like that, you know, as far as teaching the girls and all that. I think they would do something like that. It'd help out a lot better too.
Oh no 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 no! That promotes gender bias.
I'm sorry, I can't talk like that.
See the report here recently about the FCC is sending out warnings to the ham radio operators about what they say on the air. That we've got to be careful that we could get our licenses pulled when we talk politics on the radio.
Great email they sent out Sunday, but yeah, oh yeah, I can see. I was actually, when I seen that email come out, I started laughing because I've been waiting for that, especially for that thing at the Capitol. Like, I knew it wouldn't be but a few days before they started saying stuff like that. And talk about that, this morning when I turned the radio on, when I first started heading out to work, had a scan on and it stopped on several different frequencies. Somebody, I don't know if you've ever heard of a band called The Clash from back in the 70s, late 70s. Well, somebody played a brief snippet of one of their songs called London Calling. And I don't know if it was meant to make somebody nervous and they were just playing a joke, or that phrase of that song that they played, it can be used as a calling for whoever.
I remember that, and I'll tell you what, you know, that's a perfect example of how you can spin things. You know, you say one thing and mean it one way, and somebody else takes completely opposite meaning and just absolutely turn it into something that it never was meant to be. And in this day and time, on the ham radio, all of a sudden you get your license pulled, and everybody's just hyper sensitive. It's ridiculous.
It's gonna be interesting the times come here in the next, well, from here on out, really. But we'll have to wait and see and take as it comes, I guess. Do whatever really has to be done, you know, have to use some common sense. But sometimes things might get, you know, necessary. Who knows? We'll have to see.
Well, that's part of the problem. There is no common sense out there now. And I better be careful, too. I'm expressing what they would call a political opinion. So I'm going to shut up, Jimmy.
But yeah, people just gonna have to gotta use some. They gotta think before they act. But you know, also pay attention.
Yep. Well, Bud, listen, I enjoyed the conversation this morning. I am destinating, and I'm gonna have to get in here and be a productive citizen. Oh. So anyhow, I'll go ahead and sign with you. Maybe I'll catch you on here one morning early. In the near future. I enjoyed it. KN4, VWA, I hope you have a productive day. I'm clear.
Good day. I'm about to start gathering my stuff together to head into work here in a few minutes. And I'll talk with you later. KN4, GPA.
See you, Steve. W4NGU. They went to the neighborhood, Jimmy. Be careful there. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, Steve. Can they, you think they could really take your license? That's a free speech issue unless you were inciting riots or something. There may be some gray area.
No, they absolutely can take your license because a part of the regulation of the FCC is, well, okay. Go back. I'll go find it, okay? And I'll reread that article, and I'll be able to quote it to you in a proper manner. But if you're on there talking politics or using the ham to promote any type of political meetings or anything of that nature, they've got you.
Well, I'll let you get into wherever you're going. You're about as strong as a repeater on direct.
Well, I'm over here at North Grove, Spartanburg Regional North Grove.
That's why we passed each other a few minutes ago. I said, man, that guy's in my front yard.
Okay, well, you guys have a good morning. And, hey, listen, I'll be in touch later this afternoon. What time are you going to get out of your place today, Phil?
Oh, about 5 or maybe earlier. I don't know.
Left to work for 11 in 0TR.
You ain't kidding. Paying that Social Security.
I'm going to put a star on the wall for you, Phil.
They do these surveys that say recognition is more important than pay, and I don't go for that, so send me a few dollars.
Felicity, they'll take your license. Good morning. Word is heading to Aldi's to try to be there when they open. 101 was backed up there at that new three-way stop, so we went all the way over to 14 to get back up to Wade Hampton, because I'm not sitting in that line.
They got some good salmon, don't they?
Did develop a taste for salmon. Bernice never found a good recipe, did you, Mom? She tried it, but I didn't like it. And so that's the size of that. I just never bought it there, Phil.
Man, I could eat it one meal every day. I got a recipe for roasting it that puts a glaze on it right before it's done and kind of caramelizes. Oh, boy, it's good. And good for you, too.
Indeed, very good for you. Well, if you ever get time, throw that on the scanner and scan Bernice a copy of that recipe. If it's got a glaze on it, I'd probably eat it, wouldn't I, Bernice? Probably, she says.
Cooks it, and you don't like it, you need to check your taste buds.
Let's see, the last 2 days, she made the cherry cheesecake and hummingbird cake. And you know, we give some to some friends and that in the neighborhood here. And I don't know if that's as heart healthy as salmon or not.
lead in the same column.
Good. Oh, a friend of ours that we were going by down towards Taylor's, he had mentioned that at one of the Greer Radio Club meetings that was a favorite thing she made. And when we get back to the club meeting, that boy, he sure enjoy some of that. And so she just went ahead and made one, and we give some to Tim and his wife and kids next door, and then we drove down and dropped some off at Paul's, and he really enjoyed it. But he's not too far from us.
It's a thing to do that. Well, listen, be sure at 11 a.m. today, Ariel's going to be on a summit in Tennessee, and you'll try to work him. I don't have a way to tune in to him today. I wish I did. But if you need those frequencies, let me know. And, well, if you just Google SOTA 3, the SOTA website will come up, and then click the alerts button and look at Wednesday, and it'll have him there. He's pre-spotted.
Is that SOTA number 3?
SOTA, the digit 3.com, I think it is.
QSL, I'll do that. Did he have a time frame he was operating? Because I know it takes him time to get up there.
Yeah, he's talking about 1600 UTC, and I believe that's 11 o'clock local. Is that right?
I can't engage my brain that fast. That sounds right. Usually I can equate that pretty quick. I go military time plus 5, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's going to be, or minus 5, he's going to be on about 4 different bands, too, so you need to look there and see the exact frequencies.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. That rascal didn't email me or text me. There was an email in there about some guy in Turkmenistan or Kazakhstan or something. I haven't looked at that or read that yet. Oh, I got to tell you, we got Bernice scheduled, and me scheduled finally for that shot, COVID shot. And 2 different times now they come back. The first time they said she was canceled, and she was canceled. And last night about, 10, 11 o'clock, another email come in just before I went to bed and said she'd been canceled again. Now, I went over to that VAMS vaccine administration thing, and she hadn't been canceled. Boy, I'm telling you, they need to get on the ball down there.
Places across the country shutting down completely because they don't have vaccine. So, I don't know, though. I don't blame the companies too much. It was only December they got approved, and I wouldn't have spent multiplied millions, if not billions of dollars, getting vaccine ready that they might have said throw in the garbage. So I think they're doing the best they can to produce it. Now, I don't know what this pipeline issue is that we keep hearing about, but I guess they're making all they can.
Yeah, I don't blame the manufacturers. But this was through Prisma Health, and when you bring the screen up to put in your particulars about you, Phil, it's so light, that you can't hardly see where to click in order to fill in, like, your address and that, and where it says, I agree and accept this, and a little box you check in, like a lot of forms have. You can't even see it at times. It's a pain. It really is. I heard a lot of complaints about it. Now, that's not Prisma. That's VAMS, Vaccine Administration Management System, which is DHEC. And many, many elderly folks are having trouble with it. I did a little bit.
That night we were watching the news, an older lady was ranting and raving that she couldn't work the website, said it wanted her to take a picture of a barcode or one of those square barcode things with her phone. She said, I can't even take a picture of myself.
And there are people out there like that and without computers and stuff. And it's just a difficult procedure to go through. And if you try to call them, and I tried that, you never get in. So it's frustrating, to say the least. But my schedule's March the 10th, I think, was as soon as I could get in. Bernice's is February 25th, and it was still good, even though it said it had been canceled. A Q code, they call those. That's funny. I guess my phone's set up for it. And when you hover your phone over it, it shows you the information. It comes up on the screen of the phone. It's kind of an amazing thing. I never had used those Q codes before, but that's what they give you. So you print it out and you take that with you when you go to get your shot.
Interesting story about Q codes. You know, I love to trade stock, do it every day. And the only stock I ever owned a million shares of, I actually owned a million shares of Neo Media. And back in the day, they owned the patent for that. And I held it because the rumor was they were going to sell out to Microsoft. And something happened. I think Microsoft just developed their own, or I don't know how they got around the patent or something, but Neo Media never skyrocketed. I wound up making just a little bit of money, $2,800 or something, but nothing like the big money I was going to make. But I actually owned a million shares of Neo Media.
Well, Amy actually bought a few shares of that Moderna. And it went from $20 when she bought it, and you know, I imagine she bought $1,000 worth or something. It went to over $200 pretty quick. And she was proud of that. And I quit messing with the stock market many years ago when my nephew's, he was the CEO of a drug company called Epix Pharmaceuticals up in Boston for 11 years. And one guy in the FDA caused that not to be approved in the phase 3. And it was sad, and we were very poor and didn't have the money for it. And we could buy the stocks back then for like $5 a share. And that's when I quit. I lost about $14,000, and that was pretty much our life savings at that time. You live and you learn. But I still have some, but I don't go on and trade anymore at Ameritrade. Phil, I got to jump out and get some gas. You have a wonderful day. It's been great talking to you. It's in 0 to 0.
About 15 more minutes. See you later, W4. Never give up.
W4NGU in 0 to 0.
Well, that was quick.
Woman.
Now, Tom, what happened?
Am I back in there?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Walmart down here, Taylor's, has tap and pay now, Phil. And all you do is tap your card on there, kind of like you do at Sam's or Costco's. And, boy, it's blazing fast. But when you try to use the credit cards, you stick it in and out and take it out too quick now. It fouls up. But I figured that out the last time. So you just drive up there, tap your credit card on the reader there on the front of the pump, and you're good to go.
I guess it was the mid-90s when Spinks put those things in, just the regular swipe your card thing, and I remember the first time I paid for gas, my wife didn't know anything about it. That whole system was new. That's when that was put in. It's about 94, somewhere around there, with some of the dealers. And then I got in the car and started pulling away. She said, you didn't go in and pay for your gas. I said, ain't that big a deal. Nobody's watching. And she went ballistic till I explained it to her, but I had fun with that.
Yeah. Oh, I come close as I remember one time of driving off without paying, but I caught it just as I sat down in the car. Scared me to death. I thought, oh, geez, that'd be a bad reputation. But I never did. But sometimes if you get sidetracked talking to somebody or something, I could see where it could be possible.
Well, are those the fastest ones I've ever seen for sticking in your card and letting it read it are Costco. But I didn't know that those tap-in pays are even faster, or at least as fast.
But, the screen pops up instantly when you tap your card, so you want a receipt today. And I'll tell you, another place that's fast is Publix down there at Taylor's. We do always do the self-checkout, no touch. And I'm telling you, when you stick that card in, you can almost pull it back out, and it'll read it. But it's not tap and pay. But I didn't even notice that screen on these pumps. It's just, maybe 3 inches. Well, it's about the size of a credit card. But now they went out and they got smart and they took a sheet of typing paper and put a sign there on the pump that we've upgraded to tap and pay. But before that, the guy across from me, I tried to help him do it. He got frustrated with it and says, heck, I'll just go someplace else.
And so when I try to tap my Costco card, it doesn't work. I do have to insert it, but I like the chip reader anyway.
That's RFID chip, and that it's more secure, they say. And some people are paranoid and got metal wallets and this and that, but I don't think there's too many guys running around with those. Hopefully, anyways. And besides that, the cards are protected pretty well. But I didn't need much. I always just keep the car topped off. If we're down here, and like this time, I only had 94 miles on it, and this car will run almost 500 miles, I know, on a tank. And I just top it off. They say it's better for your system anyways. And so I drop Bernice off at Aldi's and run across the street and fill it up, come back, and I'm just sitting here now. And I'm going to go in because my Lasix is working on me.
Well, I'm just the opposite. I get reimbursed for gas in a company vehicle, and I have to put reasons for every tank, which is legitimate, perfectly fair. I'll be glad to do that. But I run it down pretty far with the mileage counter before I fill up. And I'm on 86 miles to empty right now. But I used to top off all the time, but with the system I've got now, I run it down. Now, if I didn't have this digital counter, I'd be topping off.
One of the reasons I do, and you can take it with a grain of salt, I had trouble with a Mazda 626 many years ago, and she'd get below a quarter of a tank. It just quit on you at times. It turned out to be the fuel pump, but from what the mechanics told me and some reading that I'd done, if the tank gets really low and you go around a corner or something and it slushes to one side and gets off of the pump and that you can actually get a real lean condition that can damage your catalytic converter. And I never had that happen. I just know they say it's a good policy not to do that, and that you're more susceptible to the water and the gas. You're better off to keep it full. But this gas nowadays, like for the lawnmowers and that, I get alcohol-free gas, and I put that stabilizer in it. Because they say it only lasts about 3 months. Of course, we're not doing as much driving in that. So, if we want to take off or something happens drastically, I don't have to worry about having a full tank of gas.
It calculates his mileage in months to the gallon.
I had a buddy that almost ran us out of gas going to a ham fest down in Tulsa one time. And I told him, I said, Ron, I'm buying the gas. And I said, pull into a filling station here in Joplin. We're not going to make it 30 miles on home to Pittsburgh. He probably drove for a half an hour in order to save 1 or 2 cents on a gallon of gas. And in reality, he could reach into his wallet, and he had some kind of a, or in his pocket, he had a little notepad, and he could tell you what he gave for a tank of gas a year before.
People go crazy over a couple of cents. And like you say, drive further than they save to get it. That's just kind of nuts.
He was Italian, and they were noted for that up there in Frontenac, Kansas. But I never seen a guy as cheap as him in my life. One to two. A guy I worked with was Italian. And every time we walked to a parking lot, he'd see a penny on the ground, he'd pick that sucker up. Now, I don't know if he'd pick it up if the tails were showing or not, but I think he would have. And I'd laugh. I said, John, you that destitute? And he said, that's 12 minutes in the parking meter, Tom.
As a general contractor and built houses, I used to have an electrician that would pick up a wire nut. That I don't know what they were back then, 3 cents. And he'd pick every one of them up if he dropped it.
It's actually like the crane operators and some of the machinists, they would take off, shut their machine down and start walking around the shop in order to pick up aluminum cans. And some of us honorary guys, we'd throw them down in a pit on a machine where it was nice and oily and crummy, they might spend 15, 20 minutes of the company's time trying to get out that pop can that was worth, a couple of cents.
On TV a couple of days ago about a guy that makes a living grabbing golf balls out of the lake. He's got one of those extendable rods, and I used to play with a guy. It used to take us forever to play a round of golf because he would stop at every water hazard and extend that metal rod, telescoping deal, had a little scoop on the end of it, and he'd get him 5 or 6 balls there. He got the most joy out of that.
Yeah, I seen a guy, he made a business of it, man. They'd go out and get those things, and they got lots of them. Phil, I got to run because this water pill's starting to get to me. It's great talking to you. Yeah, I never could be quite that tight. I guess that's why I'll never be rich. But I feel rich. 73. This is MJLTR. Have a good day.
I'm 2 miles from the workplace, so that's good timing. See you later, Tom. Enjoyed it. As always, WD4, never give up.